Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Well, we are in a series. This is the second installment of it. It's called Better Together. And Pastor Claude started the series last week. If you missed that, I encourage you to go online and listen. It was a really awesome start. Today, my title for the message is Better Together, May I Be Excused. To be excused means to be released from a duty or requirement. I don't know if you've ever felt that before, right? When it comes to community, when it comes to doing life with people. And maybe sometimes it's like Better Together, my secondary title was, Are We? Like, really? I'm not better alone? And sometimes it feels like you're better alone, because the reality is that in church and in community, there are hardships, right? In relationships, there are hardships. This is just a reality of life. Any relationship you have, there's two people that can sin and can err, and sometimes I think, if we're honest with ourselves, it makes us say, I love God, but can I just have that relationship with God and not people? Like, I don't love that part as much, if we're being honest, right? And I think if we look at the reasons for sometimes why community is hard, I'll list some common ones. Community can get uncomfortable, right? Or be anxiety-inducing. Have you ever been in the foyer and you just are like, there's a lot of people here? Right? That happens to me too. And different people have real struggles with that kind of stuff. Sometimes we have trouble relating to people, right? Like, what do I even talk about? Or have you ever had an interaction with someone and you leave that interaction and you're like, what did I say? I was so weird. That I was so awkward, man. Right? Has that been just me? It's like, that's like every day for me. It's my life. Sometimes I don't feel like I fit in. Sometimes people are difficult. No, don't amen that. And if we're being real, sometimes I'm difficult. Definitely don't amen that one. The church is filled with imperfect people, right? We know the saying, if you found a perfect church, do not go. It won't be perfect anymore. And in church, honestly, there are some sinful people who have done abusive things, horrible things, and really caused hurt and pain in people's lives. And those are real acts that we have to walk through. And it can be easy to just say, that must be how the whole church is. When it comes to community and relationships, there are a lot of work. And sometimes you put in that work to build a relationship, but then they don't pour back into you. Or you build a relationship and then just someone lets you down and that relationship ends? And now we have to start all over? Like, what's the point here? Relationships open us up to being rejected or hurt. When it comes to being vulnerable with people, that can be hard. Amen? Want me to share my sins? Confess my sins? What are they going to think? Are they going to judge me? Are they even going to care? Are they just going to say, leave this church and go to another one? What's going to happen when I do that? Or maybe you've been vulnerable in the past and someone broke your trust and now you're expected to trust another person? Plus, everyone else has their issues, so why would I burden other people with my issues? Sometimes after a day of work, people can be just draining, right? So can my community be a couch and a TV and popcorn? Can that work? I think all of these reasons, and we could come up with more, we can fill the PowerPoints of why community can just be difficult and hard, because we're in community with people that can let us down. But the reality is, I think what happens here is the enemy wants to use these reasons and make us believe lies that would isolate us from community. And instead of healing together as a people and overcoming these reasons, he's saying, why don't you just exclude yourself? You're not better together. Why don't you just be alone? And I've seen this happen in people's lives. I've seen people make these big statements of why they don't want to join community. I've heard it said before, the church is filled with judgmental people. I've heard it said that people cannot be trusted, right? Because one person breaks your trust, so now you don't trust anyone. I've heard people say before, I'm not a people person. But I think God made people people, right? I think some people are, maybe we can call them introverted, and some people we can maybe call them extroverted, but we're all people people, right? So I've heard some people say, I just don't fit in. So what are we gonna do when we feel this way? Are we gonna build the truth about that and let the enemy isolate us, or are we gonna overcome these things? The beautiful thing is I've seen people and testimonies of people overcoming feeling this way. I remember a young man who came into church and he's like, I don't want to go back because everyone was judging me. And I just kind of told him straight, I don't think they are. I think something inside of you is seeing your lens and your framework through this truth, and that's affecting, you know, when someone looks you in the eye, they judged me, but maybe they wanted to say hi. So I encouraged him, don't view it that way. Maybe they're not judging you, and it was cool to see him overcome that and start coming to church. The lie of I can't trust people. I've seen people heal from that, and even though in the past they've been hurt by the church, they don't give up on the church, and now actually they're very involved in church, and I think that's beautiful. When it comes to the feeling of not fitting in, I remember a community that I was called to join when I was around 15 was Winkler Bible Camp. And if you wanted to serve there in the summer, you had to go to their staff training event. It was supposed to be a fun weekend of staff training. And when I was thinking back to the first staff training I ever had, I remember how I felt. I felt I don't fit in here, right? I was like 15 and I looked like I was 12 when I was 15. And I was surrounded by 17-year-olds and I just didn't fit in. No one would really often talk to me. No one really, and it wasn't anyone's fault, but I just knew, do you know when you know, like, I'm not fitting in here? You know when you know that? And I hated those staff retreat weekends. But I stayed because I realized I felt that God had called me to be there, right? And doesn't that trump really everything? If God has called me to be there, then even though it's uncomfortable, and even though I think I even like left to cry somewhere because I felt so left out, like I hated these weekends. I really hated them. Even the second year when that happened, you think it was like, oh, the first one was hard, then it got better. It didn't. I hated the second one. But I stayed 7 summers, so eventually I started to love them, right? But I stayed because I felt called by God to be in that community, called by God to serve in that ministry. And that's why I'm a pastor here today too. I'm not upstage, up front here because I love it. I feel called by God. So the calling of God on our life, I think that trumps all of these excuses. Are we called to be together? Right? Because that is the ultimate question. Has God called us to be together? And my whole sermon is kind of answering that as a resounding, I think, yes, he has. He has called us to be together. And your calling is not just your calling. It's our calling together. They're interlocked. Your gifts aren't to be just used by you alone. They're actually to serve each other, the church. And sometimes I wonder where, for those of you that are born in North America, those of you that have come to North America, you might realize that this is a very individualized culture, right? So I wonder, how has that affected the way I view my faith? Because sometimes it seems that we have my faith, my calling, and I come to church for my benefit to be fed. And are we missing something deeper that God has want to bring us into? In 1 Corinthians 12, it says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all members of the body, though many, are one body. You're part of that body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Is that powerful? When you're baptized and you're born again, you're baptized into a body. Think about that. That baptism isn't just another step on your Christian walk. It's a symbol that you're born again, but you're born again into what? A family, right? We have God as our Father. But that also means we have brothers and sisters, right? And when we say brother and sister in Christ, sometimes you just kind of throw that out there. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. But that's actually, it's a spiritual reality. It's actually a deep and significant thing. And the reality is, if God is my Father, then I can't really reject my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I have a responsibility towards them. If you're a father in the building and you have more than one kid, imagine if one day your kid went up to you and said, "Hey, Dad, I love you. Like, you raised me well. You're so loving and kind. It's great. But I don't love my brothers and sisters. They hurt me and they bully me. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I want you to be my father, but I do not want to have these brothers and sisters." If you're a good father, you will say, "Sorry, bud, doesn't work that way. God brought us into a family," right? And I think it's really the same thing with our faith, that when we're baptized into a family, we're baptized into a body. And so we have a responsibility, not just to God, and devotion to God, but a devotion to each other. Look what it says in Acts 2, 41 to 42. "Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day." And look at this. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer." Their devotion to God and baptizing, born-again experience, they knew, I have a commitment to meet with this family. My devotion to the Lord and my devotion to being in church, it's not separate. It's directly linked, right? So let's keep reading this 1 Corinthians passage as well. "For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." I think that's so cool, right? We can have different cultures and different types of people, but we're all made to drink one Spirit. It's pretty beautiful. Verse 14, "For the body doesn't consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that wouldn't make it less a part of the body. If the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that wouldn't make it less part of the body." So you can't really be excused, right? Because you've been brought in by God, and you're part of the body, and that part is a valuable part. Just because maybe you want to be an eye, no, you're an ear, so that's valuable. Then it says, "We are all a needed part of the body." Can you say that to your neighbor? You're a needed part of the body. You're a needed part of the body. As Christians, if we don't see our role as part of the body, like, I don't want my pinky one day just to say, "Hey, I'm peacing out. Sometimes I don't feel valuable here. Have a good one." It's like, what? No. And then next morning I wake up and my thumb's gone. It's like, what's going on? My one ear? Yeah, I got 2 ears. You'll be fine. And it's gone. That is not what I want, right? And gladly my pinky can't do that. And it seems that the author is really saying, that's not really how it works. We're a body. You can't just reject your place in the body. You can't just have Christ as your head separately with just you and him. You're in a body. We've been placed in a body. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head say to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" So again, we've been really born again into into Christ, and we're united as a body. We need each other. This is the spiritual reality of what's happened. And a couple Sundays ago, I was talking about how Paul, when he's writing to the church in Ephesians or in Ephesus, he kept saying in chapter 1, you're in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And then actually in chapter 2, he talks about how the fact that we're united with Christ, it actually has implications for the relationship we have with each other as well. Look at what it says. But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near through the blood of Jesus. Can we get an amen, a hallelujah? That's good news. We've been brought and united with Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. But look at this peace. It's not just with God. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of the law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles, creating in himself one new people from two groups. Say together. 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 All right, we're in the series together, so say together when we read it. Together. As one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to the Gentiles who were far away from him and peace to the Jews who were near. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. So you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, oh boy, let's say it again. Together, together we are his house. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where the Lord lives by his Spirit. Do you know that when the Bible talks about us being a temple of the Holy Spirit, usually the context is we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I viewed that for a long time, that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's true. The Spirit lives in me. But usually when the Bible talks about us being a dwelling place for God, it's talking about us. In 1 Peter, it says, you are living stones being built together into a spiritual house. We are this place where God dwells. Not just individual, right? If someone would pull you aside and point to a brick and say, hey, how do you like my house? You'd say, that brick? That's just the brick. It's not a dwelling place, right? But the reality is that God has put us together carefully so that we're this dwelling place, this spiritual house. I'll continue in 1 Peter, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And I think it's really cool when we come here to worship on a Sunday, it's all the bricks coming together to make this dwelling place of God. And we are priests, we're coming as priests, ministers to God. And so we come here to worship and minister to our Lord. And the beautiful thing is God inhabits this dwelling place together, not just individually, but together. The reality is, I think sometimes we view our relationship with God as very one-dimensional, one-to-one, but God, again, has brought us into a family. He's brought us together, united us, and he made a covenant with us people, right? He made a covenant with us. And this is, I think, sometimes where maybe we don't see this reality. My question for you this morning is, do you see the church as a covenant people together? Do you see this community as something special, something different? Right? I think it should be. Do you think it should be? I think it should be, right? Sometimes I look at The CrossFitters, that community, they always seem really close. It's like, why is that community so close? But again, I wonder if we're not seeing our church community as a different type of community because we've been brought into a covenant by God. If we look at a marriage relationship, would you say that's a different kind of relationship? Nod your head if you think so. I hope so. I hope you view a marriage relationship as there's something different there. There's a covenant that's made in Matthew 19. It talks about this union together as one flesh. What God has joined together that no one separate. And when I start premarital counseling with people, usually it's a young couple in their 20s or possibly in their teens, and they're just so excited for marriage, right? They're thinking very short term. Oh man, that honeymoon's gonna be good. Yeah. And that's good. You should be excited about your marriage and that's great. But where I start in marriage counseling is I talk about you guys are gonna make a covenant together. And because you're making that covenant, it's the foundation of your relationship. Because you'll have a honeymoon stage, but you'll also have a stage in your marriage where things will just get tough. Where you will have to journey through hardship and that list of excuses I read for, community, why community's hard, those same things are there for why marriage is hard. And at that point, what's holding you together? Do you know your calling to be together, the covenant that you made together? Do you see that? Is that your conviction? Because if that's not there, if your covenant isn't sustaining your marriage, then are you just sustained by your feelings? I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said about marriage. He said, "It's not your love that sustains the marriage, but from now on, the marriage that sustains your love." That's deep, right? I'll read it again. It's not your love that sustains the marriage, but from now on, it's the marriage that sustains your love. The fact that you've made this covenant together and said these vows and God has united you means you have this calling to love. So from that place, from that commitment, that's where you need to choose to love and choose to serve and choose to be together. And my fear is that if we don't view church as part of our calling by God to be in a covenant community, then when things get tough, when things get hard, when things are uncomfortable, when we don't feel like we fit in, do we have a conviction that I am called by God to be in this covenant community, right? That's the kind of community I want to be in, a covenant community. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. I want to be in a covenant community. Do you know what makes a community, I believe, really meaningful? It's not that just we always get along. It's not that just the sun is always shining and there's roses and flowers and we smell the flowers and we see the bees and we're like, this is a good community. It's also that we walk through hardship together. Amen? That's why I value my marriage so much. I have a great marriage. But also I value it because we're in it together through thick and thin. When it's hard, when we're happy, when we're crying, we're in it. I don't have to worry, are you out of it today? Are you in it? No, I know that we're in covenant together and we're walking together. And I think as a church community, we need to see our calling to God the Father first and foremost, but linked to that and not separate is our calling that I have a family here to help carry someone's load, to help encourage someone, to help walk with someone. I have gifts that God has placed in my life to encourage the body. And what I want in church is iron to sharpen iron, right? That's what we want. We want to sharpen each other. But the reality is, if we don't get close, can iron sharpen iron like this? If I have one piece of iron in this hand and another in this hand, can it sharpen each other? Nope, it can't. It's got to get close. And I think sometimes iron sharpening iron means walking through difficulties. It's a brother or sister lovingly correcting you and encouraging you and pointing back to Jesus. But if we don't see our calling to be a covenant people together, maybe the first time someone corrects us and say, hey, maybe you should point your life back to Jesus, then we'll just peace out and say, well, this is not the church for me, right? If we don't see that covenant, I don't know if we can have a deep and meaningful community where we actually grow, where we actually walk together through difficulty and hardship. That's what I want, a deep community, because God has brought us together in covenant. This last week, I was in BC, and we went to visit a monastery because there was a view of an overlook of the mountains, and it was really cool. But we went into the monastery entrance, and we met a young monk there named Charlie, and we just started talking to this young monk, and he had gone to school there, and he had decided to live his life to be a monk. So what that really entailed for him, it's a little different depending who you're really following, but he was a Benedictine monk. So what that meant is Charlie had said a temporary vow to that monastery to be faithful to God, and to be, one of the vows is stability. Stability meant he did not leave the monastery. Like, for real. We asked him, like, can you visit your family? And he said, nope, they have to come here. I'm stable to this monastery. And in 1 year's time, he was going to say a solemn lifelong vow, never to marry and never to leave the monastery, vowing for that. How many of you are glad that's not what we do in our partnership classes? Don't worry. We are not a monastery. You may leave the premises. And you don't have to say a vow to stay here to get forever, right? But there's something there about his commitment to that brotherhood that actually really moves me. His responsibility to his brotherhood. I think in the same way, I want to have a responsibility to you guys, to Christ's greater church, and see that as part of my calling. It's not really optional, right? We are Christ's one bride. He's not coming back for two. He's coming back for one bride. So we are that together. We are the body of Christ. And we need to be there for our own body, caring for our body. In Hebrews 10, it says this: this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts. I will write them on their minds, and their sin and lawless acts I will remember no more. So again, this is the gospel. This is what Jesus has done. And then it talks about how Jesus opened a new way for us to be close to God. And then it says this, it immediately jumps to talking about community. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let's consider how we may spur on each other towards love and good deeds. That's part of the gospel. Like, just end. Because Christ has saved us and brought us near, let's also end, spur each other on towards love and good deeds. And consider how we may do that. Have you ever done that in the church foyer? Just considered? Right? Considered how you may encourage someone else. It would maybe look a little weird, right? You're just standing there. What are you doing, Brenton? I'm just considering. Right? I'm considering. Man, like, these are my brothers and sister in faith, and life is tough and difficult, and we have an enemy that wants to isolate us. He wants to kill us. So I see this responsibility to encourage people. So I'm just gonna sit here and consider, because that's part of my calling. That's part of the gospel. I have a calling to God, and I have a calling to my brothers and sisters. He's put us in this together, and so I want to see that and take that seriously. Then it says in verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. I think we could all fall into that habit. But again, if I see church as a place that I get fed, I get supported in my calling, versus I come to serve and encourage the body, I come to bring my gifts, and we are priests worshiping God together, then maybe I can just watch YouTube at home and be encouraged. And that's church. But church is more than that. We have to be, it's an expression of us together. And we have to walk together. And so I encourage you, don't give up on church as some are in the habit of doing. God has brought us together, and we have a commitment to him, but we have a commitment to each other. to walk together in a covenant community where we share each other's burdens, where we're vulnerable and we open up. And can I say where we show up even when it's hard, right? Even when it's hard, we show up. Not everyone's here today because it was easy, amen? Not everyone's here today because it's easy. I met someone just the other day who walked into the church for the first time in a long time, and they said, being in this building is a big step for me. And you could tell they were a bit nervous, and I just encouraged them, well, thanks for taking that step. Thanks for taking that step. I know it's not easy, and we don't expect you just, if you've been hurt in church, if you have anxiety in community, we don't expect you to get over that overnight. But can we journey and heal together? And we give you permission to come in here and say, oh man, I didn't want to be in here, but I knew I was called to be in here. I've seen people do that. They come in a church community and they're just kind of a wreck because life is hard. And they said, I knew I needed to be here today. Amen, right? We don't have to come when it's all peachy. We don't have to come when it's easy. We come because God united us together in community. And so again, I encourage you. I'm not just trying to say if you have excuses for not being in community, just get over it. But I'm saying, see, you're calling by God that he's called us to be together, a vibrant community of brothers and sisters in Christ, a dwelling place for God. Amen? Let's stand. Paul says at the end of his letter to the Ephesians, he says this, and as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. I think all of us, that's all of us. God, we want to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. And then he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Look what it says next. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What does this have to do with my calling? Everything. We're called to be in this community. And so if we're going to be in a community, if we're going to be in a relationship, will it take effort? How many of you will say in a marriage, that takes work, effort? Paul's encouraging the church, make every effort. Because we've been brought together through the bond of peace through Jesus Christ. And then it says this, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. God, maybe we one together. May we make every effort to make that happen because you have brought us together and you drew it up this way. And God, I just pray that no matter how hard it is for us to be in community, we would see that you've called us to be. You've put us in a body. And we thank you for that, God. God, may we be a body that cares for each other, supports each other. May we be a body that even though it might be awkward or maybe we're uncomfortable together, it's okay because we are this covenant community. We're not just like a CrossFit community. There's something deeper that's happened here, God. And we journey with each other through thick and thin, through hardship, through whatever life throws our way. So we thank you, God, for putting us in this covenant community. We praise you and we just say, yeah, help us to see our responsibility we have to each other, our brothers and sisters. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.